To chapter 13 of Revelation tonight, and we'll begin from the beginning again here tonight, and let's go ahead and read the first four verses, Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, that's the devil, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm getting really excited about what's going on. And it's been going on for some time, but it's really going on now. And we can see these things beginning to really set in place, that these things are ready to just spring forth and to come to pass so quickly. Remember, we're talking about a tribulation time that's only 7 years. In 7 years, all of this transpires, all of this comes through that we've been reading of and rereading of and studying and rejoicing about. But we're hearing and have been hearing for some years now, that cry of peace, peace, peace. And it's going to come to a euphoric peace and safety, peace and plenty, very quickly. And this one that will come, that we'll begin to read tonight, this Antichrist, will come upon the scene. And these things will begin to take place. So here we see John. He's taken on another vision here. And he stands upon the sand of the sea. This sand speaks of a shifting time. This speaks of unsettled times. I believe that speaks pretty much of the time we're at. It's shifting and unsettling, I would say, don't you? And we see that this beast, or this Antichrist, will come out of the sea. So we've read and had some more in-depth study earlier on of the Antichrist, and again, not to get completely focused on it, but the Lord's told us about him and told us about him in Daniel and different places in the New Testament and obviously Revelation. These are things that he wants us to know. These are things, even qualities that we can see of the prince of the power of this air that even are, in a sense, in a sign and type, they're apparent, but not this evident, that are even going on at this time. Things to truly, we're not ignorant of his devices, are we? It's things that we know as you read even Revelation. You can see in subtleties and even some pretty blunt ways, because God's so good to us by his grace. You know, on Sunday, we talk about being scared so good. And that's a good thing when the Lord has to kind of stir you up. He loves us when these things happen. But we see some of these things beginning to give us shadow and type of these things that are going to come to pass. But this beast rises up out of the sea. This is Gentile nations here. We understand, as the Word of God tells us, the Antichrist will come out of the Gentile nation. We saw that the in Daniel, it spoke of that the Antichrist would come out of those that destroyed the temple. Well, we know that was Rome. So I know we talk back and forth, but at the same time, there was also somewhat evidence that the Antichrist could also be that of a Jew as well. Have that part. Remember, this is going to be everybody's man. This is going to be someone everybody's going to look to. Now, there's going to be many reasons for it, but it's going to be because God, again, this is his purpose. This is his word. This is what he says. He is going to enable the dragon. He's going to enable the devil to have this power to give unto this one that will come forth and fool the world. So This Antichrist that we see here is one of these seven heads that we see of this beast. He says, we see this beast that rise up having seven heads and ten horns. The Antichrist specifically is the sixth head. We'll get to that in chapter 17. But what happens is that head gets receives a mortal wound. This Antichrist, he dies. Now, I have touched upon that some have preached on this, that this would be something maybe like Rome. Rome was a great power. It was an empire at one time. It didn't really go away. It died and come back and things of that nature. I see types in that. But brothers and sisters, I believe this is going to be a man. And this world is looking for a man. And we've seen it time and time again. I mean, my goodness, from all of these leaders that have come forth. And, you know, we haven't been deceived in the United States. And I pray, and I mean sovereignly pray, you better pray for your leaders. And I'm telling you, at this time, to really pray, whoever God, again, will set up, it's apparent we have a new president coming, we need to pray. Prayed for our past president, the one before that. You get in tune. This isn't about your political preference. You pray. I would hope that we would have men and women that would lead, that would begin to turn to the things of God, as opposed to be ones that I believe that the United States, at the end of it all, will be a sheep nation. I do. I believe God has graced us with this. But I don't want us to be duped into ushering in things. But it does appear that it might be. I mentioned that, you know, as we've had example, and one that's so glaring is King Ahasuerus. He wasn't intent on being mean to Jew. Well, it turned out that he was going to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth in his ignorance. In his ignorance. Well, I'll tell you what, the only way you're not going to be ignorant is to get to know the things of God. And this is where we should and need to be praying. But again, as God will see fit, he's going to have his way. So, we see that this Antichrist receives a mortal wound. He dies. And the beast, or the dragon, the devil, is empowered of, again, allowed to have the power to raise that one from the abyss, from hell itself. Because remember, if you're an unbeliever and you die, you go to hell. Well, let me tell you something. That Antichrist will come out of the abyss, out of that pit, out of that being raised, and will be empowered with such hate and evil that no man has seen yet upon this earth, because this is this time we're in. And then the Antichrist will reign over this monstrosity of these seven heads, these ten horns, here as we know as the beast, for the last half of the tribulation. And the last half of the tribulation is known as the Great Tribulation. So now this beast, as it says, the Antichrist, in a sense, incorporates all the powers and characteristics of all the great empires that have ever been known. And that's what we see here that's typed in, as it says in verse 2, the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Those three things speak of the swiftness that will come in, the tenacity, meaning that it just doesn't quit, and the veracity in all three of those beasts. We saw those different traits in the Babylonian, the Greek, the Persian, and culminating in a sense in the great Roman Empire. That was here. We saw this as well typed. If you know the book of Daniel, it was typed through Nebuchadnezzar. The seven heads being seven nations. The ten horns, as we've read many times already, are ten kings that are yet to have kingdoms. Spoken of thoughts on that very much so. I know ones have thought those to be the European Union. There's some that believe that those are this old Soviet bloc countries. Well, and today it might even appear that these 10 kings without kingdoms could be these terrorist organizations as well, too, that are there. I don't know specifically. God says to be aware of it and to understand what's coming. But again, this isn't something for us to get caught up and let it to be our complete table discussion. We need to say, isn't this wonderful? Let's look up. Jesus is coming. So this is where we're at. But let's remember back, before we get into this, let's remember back about the Antichrist, before this third verse. Let's remember back when the Antichrist comes upon the scene. Remember that was back in chapter 6. And the Antichrist is seen as this one that comes in on a white horse. So this one that's bringing peace. It says that he has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. So there's great strength in this one. But he comes in with this peaceful speak, this promoting peace, great strength, but no war. But yet we know at that time there's going to be war and rumor of war. You think about what's promoting right now, peace, peace, peace. And you can see that there's things that are happening even right now that could get people to be more euphoric about peace. There could be confidence given to leaders, new leaders, where Israel believes that this is peacetime, that they might come to a table and say, you know what, we'll sign a 7-year peace accord because we believe there's enough strength to support that peace. But yet there's war and rumor of war everywhere. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. We have it. It is everywhere. We not only have war outside of our borders, we have war within our borders. And it's the truth. It's just the prince and the unseemly things that are going on with Satan. And the only time people will have peace, whether it's in your home, your anything about your life, in your neighborhood, in your country, in the world, is Jesus. And we thank God that we know these things. So, in thinking back about the Antichrist, before he receives the mortal wound, before the third week, we remember we saw him, again, come in with this message of peace. It says he comes to power by peace. We'll take just a few minutes, go back and read those verses in Daniel, if you'll turn there. In Daniel chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, this is speaking of the Antichrist here and through these chapters. And it says in verse 24 of chapter 8, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, all he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." So we see that again, it says, by peace shall destroy many. He has a great and wonderful lying tongue. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." I mean, he's just a wonder of lies. Isn't that kind of what we're hearing all the time right now, is a wonder of lies? Except this is going to be enabled in a way and in a height, and people are going to be prepared because they've rejected Jesus to believe a lie. "And with all deceivableness," it says, "of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the" what? "The love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause shall God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Isn't that something? And see, it all happened because why? Because they rejected, did not receive the love of the truth. Yeah. See, when you reject the Lord, you're going to receive something. And the only other alternative from receiving the Lord is going to be a lie. And I pray that we even take that from our, in our own lives and in our own walk, brothers and sisters. We want to receive the Word of God for our lives. When we don't receive the Word of God for our life, we will go after lies. Thank you, Jesus, not to this extent. But I don't want to be duped by the devil. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to walk down those death paths, that path of destruction. We always need to be aware of that. The thing that'll get us to go that way is when we're trying to appease our flesh. Whether it's, I'm afraid, I need to turn to this. I'm offended, I need to turn to this. I'm discouraged, I need to turn to this. Whatever it may be. And all those things, turn to Jesus. Turn to the Word of God. It's right there for us. So it says he comes to power by peace. Now going back to Daniel 11 now. It says so many. He says wonderful things with his lies and all of his flattery. And in Daniel 11, it gets even a little bit more descriptive of this fellow. And he says here in verse 21, chapter 11, verse 21, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Yeah. I'll tell you, that just shows you how foolish the people are. Well, where are we? How foolish are the people? Amen? Come on. How are we flattered today? In whatever way we want to perceive that man is going to fix our ill. So that can be on both sides of the spectrum. It can be on any party you want to believe. You understand what I'm saying? You know, there's different wants, there's different needs, there's different things, and as far as the hot button on all the political parties. But this one, he'll flatter you. We better have an ear that hears, amen? "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people." Isn't that interesting? And that's where I have to say in my heart, I pray so much, again, for the protection of this nation, that we wouldn't be, in a sense, part of that part of it. And that's where I think that God in his word tells us, this is going to be something that nobody's seeing. This is going to come from a small pocket that you're going to say, well, how did that happen? How did that one come forth out of that? Well, it's going to be supported by ones that are ignorant, that have that power, that give power unto that one. So in verse 24, it says, "He shall enter in peaceably, even into the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil the riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time." He will take it all over. Yes, he will. But again, at that time when he rises to power is at the middle basically of the week, the middle of the 7 years. And he does this all before we even get to the last of the 3.5 years. This comes in. You talk about a swift leopard. It comes in that fast. So, and you think about how God has shown us things changing so, I mean, amazingly fast, even in our society. Think of perceptions and all of these different things from not just politics, but society. Who would have thought where we are would be even socially acceptable 10 years ago, 15 years ago? I mean, it really is. It's a reprobate mind. It's a mind that does not make sense nor can make the right decision. It is a conscience that's seared with a rod of hot iron. And that's where God is bringing allowing this to go. Remember this in Romans 1. He just said, you know, when they knew he was God, they refused him. They rejected him as God. Just like they rejected, see, when God is truth and love, and they didn't receive that. And then it goes on to say, and neither were they thankful. And then God turns them over. And that's where you can see that progression of truly demonic state that goes on through Romans 1 as you go away from God. And then in Daniel 11:37, and I'll just mention these, he will speak pompously. He speaks with great arrogance. And it also goes on to say he doesn't regard the desire of women. Now, for a man, that is usually a very natural desire. But it shows you this fella, nothing affects him. Yeah. He's a machine. He's an evil machine. He's endued of a satanic power that is completeness of hell itself. It goes on and to say that he'll, and we've mentioned this before, he'll intend to change the times and the laws. Again, we're seeing this already begin to happen. So who is behind this? It's the one that empowers him. It's the dragon. It's the devil. So we see these things already coming to pass. Laws changing that you're sitting there scratching your head to say, no, that's not right. But they change. And this is the way man's going. Changing history, events, those types of things. But we know that this is the enemy. Now, going back to where we're at tonight, we go to the point where he receives the mortal wound in verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 13. When that happens, God is going to let evil be completely poured forth upon the earth. See, right now, it's very precious. The Lord says that until he that hinders is taken out of the way, and that refers to the bride of Christ, till the bride is raptured, this will not even begin to come forth. So you think about the love that the Lord has for us. You think about the trying things that we go through that we're suffering together with Christ. And there's many heart-wrenching things and very hurtful things and sorrowful things that we go through. But yet, even in all of that, one of the great purposes is that the devil is a roaring lion, is still withheld because of the importance of the finishing of the bride of Christ for Jesus. Isn't that awesome to think how incredible this precious gospel that the Lord has given to us, the mystery of Christ. And this precious revelation is all part of that wonderful message to us, brothers and sisters. We have Paul's gospel, but Paul's gospel, praise the Lord, is also revelation. Paul's gospel is also Daniel and Exodus and Genesis. Paul's gospel is the whole word of God seen with the enlightened eyes of understanding of Jesus Christ will have that wondrous bride. This is what's so marvelous about it, that he's opened these things up to us. So, he enables the devil to enable Satan to resurrect the beast from the pit of hell, the abyss, and this Antichrist comes back to life. After he is raised, again, this is so Christ-like, by the devil himself, as it says in verse 4, read those words. And all the world wondered after him. All the world wonders after him. I mean, it's just amazing that this kind of power would be endued. But again, this is what God will allow. Now, some of the things that happen at this time. The Antichrist will magnify himself above every god. That's Daniel 11:36. He will blaspheme the true God. That's Daniel 11:36 as well. He makes a god of his military, literally calling it in Daniel 11:38, the god of forces. Yeah. Wasn't that a type of Rome? Wasn't Rome so infatuated and they adored their military? Man, they'd get them out there and march them all over the place. Huh? Their chariots, the way that they would go into war, no one could stand before them. That empire was greater than any empire we've ever seen. And at that time, to think of how they could mobilize troops, I mean, we've got aircraft carriers and all that stuff today. Those people, let me tell you something. The way they move, their supply lines, how they got the water and all of that, without the technology that we have today, them were warriors. Yes, they were. Now, goes on to say that he'll be a brutal conqueror. Now, we've seen some brutals, from Pol Pot to Stalin to Hitler, all of these different ones. But we've never seen, and the world has never seen, anybody as brutal as this. The destruction. He'll control the world's finances. We'll read about that in a minute. Without the mark of the beast, there'll be no transacting money. He will persecute and make war against the saints of God for those last 3.5 years. And praise God, we're almost there. Amen. And it's just a little time, and we'll thank the Lord here, and we'll thank the Lord over there. Praise his name. Now let's go ahead and read about this in a little bit more detail. Let's get into verse 5. And there was given unto him, this is the Antichrist, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, that's 3.5 years, basically. That last half of the tribulation, he's going to have this power through the great trib. Now, it says that he blasphemes. Now, how does he blaspheme? He blasphemes the name. See, that's the blasphemy, is the name. That why that beast came up, it already had the name blasphemy on it. You saw that when that beast came out of the sea, it had the name of blasphemy on it. All right? Now, this one is given the mouth to truly articulate that blasphemy. And to an extent of blasphemy where he receives and demands the praise that I'm God. The very devil himself, devil being cast out of heaven at that time, Lucifer, because he tried and wanted to exalt himself above God. It's exactly what this one has taken upon this earth. And because of the fact that they did not, meaning the people of the earth, did not receive truth and love, God sends them great delusion. So remember this as well too. For us, we can see things. By the grace of God, we can see things. You know what I'm saying? You can see. There's discernment. There's discernment to the people of God. Don't have necessarily even have to have a gift in a sense for that. But there is a discerning. You can discern spirits by the grace of God. But you know, the world can't see that. Because that delusion is already here. Because the enemy is the prince and the power of this air. But not to this extent. But the Lord has shown us where things are so obvious. You're saying, that's evil. And yet people say, oh, that's not evil. That's just that way. That's just their choice. That's just this. And you're sitting there going, whoa. They have not seen, the world has not seen the delusion that God will send at this time. So that's where I've seen different people that God has allowed to come to power. As the Lord says, I've seen fools riding and princes walking, okay? And you'll see people come to power at different times. You'll say, what in the world? How did that happen? I think God shows us. I'm going to send them. And it might even be the foolish looking thing to the people of God. But to them, it's, you know, it's everything. It's the top of the top. So, again, because this is God that does it. All right. So, this blasphemy is blaspheming the name. And that all-powerful name, Jesus. Blasphemy means to revile, reject, literally curse the name of Jesus. And what a sad time. That they will completely receive that. And in verse 6 it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I mean, this guy's just going after everybody. Anything that has to do with the Lord, he's blaspheming. He's mocking it. He's belittling. And we're seeing that more and more and more right now. So people are just going to go along with that. They've already kind of in that vein. That they just say, well, you know what, you're right. We might as well just mock them all. And then it's funny because the blasphemy, he says it, if you read that last part of it, it says, and he blasphemes the name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. I love that. You see, I hear the laughs. It's the truth. He's blaspheming them that are in heaven. Well, how'd they get there? The blood of the Lamb, by the way. But I just, you know, The things you that the Lord, you just kind of shake your head and laugh with him at. But this is serious stuff. All right. Verse 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. So it's come to war time. You think this is war with saints right now? No, we haven't gotten to war yet. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And notice again, it's all. It's all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Did you hear that? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I love that. It's the book of life, and the reason it's life is because of the blood of the Lamb. There ain't no life without that blood. Amen. That mercy seat wouldn't be empowered without blood. Always remember that. It's wonderful, but you're looking at the blood. Hallelujah. And that's the power. Don't forget that power that's in the blood. Praise the Lord. That wonderful power. So we see that God, it says here, allows. Remember, and this is again, God allows. He has and appoints the wicked for the day of evil. So he's doing that right now, always has done. So we know that even for our own individual lives. But this is such in great order. So don't ever remember this for your own life. God is obviously involved with this great picture here, this wrap-up of this age. Yeah, it's absolutely perfectly going to be in order the way God's word says it's going to be. But by the grace of God, how much more so the before ordained good works that you should walk in for your life? Nothing's hard for God. It is in that detail. And I really would say that even in our lives, it's, I even believe, a greater detail. Hallelujah. But again, this is God we're talking about in his perfection. But God allows him to overcome the saints. This again is after the 144,000 are raptured. So we have the brides in heaven, the innumerable multitudes in heaven, the 144,000 are in heaven. All right? That represents, those companies represent the church. They have all been raptured. All right? So now at this time, this empowerment is given to the devil to bring forth this Antichrist from death to life. And this allowing of overcoming of the saints goes forth now. So let's think about this. He's going to kill some of these saints. We saw those saints under the altar. Remember the saints that are under the altar? This is the church of Laodicea. These are the ones that will be, as we see, the five foolish virgins that will be here. But there will also be ones of that company that escape, as we read last week, that go into the wilderness. That's the remnant. That's the Lord's remnant. From that, we know that that will be the majority of those will be Jews. There will be some Gentiles that will be in that. But these will be ones that will be protected and hidden, that God will even allow and has many of those that will live through this last 3.5 years. Even as they're overcome, God will still protect. And even though it is so horrible, if you remember back to Revelation 11:13, those ones will still give glory to God. Isn't that awesome? I think that's wonderful. That encourages me. That's a future event that encourages my heart. That in my situations, I'm going to give glory to God. Amen? You think about it. And they're going to be looking to the Word of God, just like we look to the Word of God. There is no hope. There's no abounding hope without the Word of God. They're going to know. They're going to be encouraged because the Word of God will encourage them that this is but for a short time. Amen. That's why they can give glory to God, because there's faith. Why and how is there faith? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is what's so beautiful about this Word that endures forever. Now, again, notice the whole world worships this Antichrist, this beast. And it is amazing to think, but it's really not hard to understand. Because this world at this time is almost completely void of Christians. This world at this time, the only ones that are remaining, really, the only children are the devil's children. You're either born of God or you're not. And we need to understand this, brothers and sisters. At this time, only the believers, this Jewish this Jewish remnant, or and as we know, there'll be some Gentiles there too, that have refused the mark of the beast. God is hiding them, as he calls it, in the wilderness, keeping them. But if you don't worship God, who are you worshiping? This is just made very plain and very clear right here. If you don't worship God, who are you worshiping? You're either for me or you're against me. You're either going and of God, or you're of mammon, or going after even the things of mammon, and God help us to make the right decisions. See, if we don't believe truth, the word that we've already read says we'll believe a lie. And it's always been that way, brothers and sisters. See, no matter how wonderful a life our neighbor, our friend may appear, if Jesus is not their Lord and Savior, believe it or not, they're following their God, in a sense, is Satan. I'm not saying that they're a Satan worshiper in the way that we would think of that, but that's who's leading their life. He's subtle. He does it in way, he's a pipe organ within. There's beauty. There's all of these things that are so able to captivate and fool people. Matter of fact, even God's precious people. I know me even at times. Oh, that looks really good. Well, ask Adam and Eve how good that fruit looked. and how easily we are deceived. Amen. So these are the things that we see. Now, going on to 9 and 10. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Isn't that wonderful? He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. See, and what a call this is again. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We heard that many times before, haven't we? But you'll notice we heard more than that. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do you see that time's past? There's still a calling out to the things of God. But what the Spirit says to the church age is done. The time of that bridal time to get ready, it's over. But he's still never going to forsake his people. So he's still even calling to them at this time. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. See, and that's the only solace that these people have, is hearing, and hearing the words of God, hearing the word of God. But has that ever changed? When is your heart satisfied? When are you at peace? When do you have rest? It's when you hear the word of God. Amen? See, even though this is a tumultuous event, even though this is horrible, and there are a lot of people that are God's precious people, they do believe that this event is going to happen, and they fear this event. If you're not listening and heeding to Paul's gospel, you should fear this event. You should, because it's going to be a scary time. Now, I'm not saying that I've apprehended, but I'm believing him that through the power of his might, and this love shed abroad that happens in our lives, that by faith and all by his grace, amen, I'm going to believe that he'll perform the good work which he's begun in me and you. So, praise the Lord that we can have that faith and that confidence. But see, you think about this too. This time isn't to the churches in a sense. Yes, this is the church of Thyatira. But that time to get ready, that calling out to the churches, to each of those believers that were in those churches at that time when we started in Revelation, it was to wake up and to come out. Remember, even to the church of Ephesus, you've left your first love. Wake up. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Well, the reason the Spirit ain't saying the same message to the churches is because that message, that time is done. It's gone. That bridal time is gone. And then only this remnant remains on the earth. But what a graceful God we have in such dark times. Hear the word. Hear the word. And I love that. The word of God never changes. Then in verse 10, it says, judgment is coming. That's basically what verse 10 means. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. It's judgment is coming. And the wicked by their works are going to be judged. That's Revelation 20. See, when those ones that have faced that second death, that's all those that have never received the Lord Jesus as Savior, they'll face that second death. And they're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. And they're going to be judged according to their works. See, I thank the Lord. I'm justified because of the work and the only work on the cross. Praise God. The finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. Isn't it so clear and it's so wonderful to us? It's so beautiful. It is done. And I thank the Lord. You're encouraged right now because you're hearing the Word of God. Now, when you go home tonight, hear the Word of God. And tomorrow, His Word never changes. So hear the Word of God and praise the Lord how encouraged we are. But there is something very special. We go back to how we started tonight about gathering with people that love the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? You get encouraged. Praise God. You know, my goodness, you can look across in the love of God and you can say, oh man, sister, I know you've been going through some things and this and that, and here you are. And here's what you've just faced, and here you are. And man, I just remember months back, you were in such a this, and wow, you're floating around here. Amen. Praise God. That encourages if you'll look to see the appearing of the Lord. Amen. So, this is what's going to be. They're going to be judged by their works, and no one's going to stand in that day. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints that we know in due time He will exalt us. The wicked will not get away with anything. I'd like to just take next, say, 3-4 minutes, and we'll stop. But I'd like to just get in and introduce next week's topic. We're going to come to the next beast this next week, God willing, if we gather. And this next beast is the beast called the false prophet. As mentioned last week, remember, anything that is against God is antichrist. We know that. But this is, we've seen throughout time, there's many counterfeits. But this is the great counterfeit. And we've seen this come in as a trinity, just like we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In this trinity, we have the devil, we have the antichrist, and we have the false prophet. And they go into those places that are in type, if you think about it, a counterfeit of what the true trinity is. And so this is what comes forth. And I'd like us just to read, and as we'll close tonight, I'd like you to read 11 through 18. And this will be some things that you can meditate on, and even, and I pray you go home and study a little bit, and sometimes it's good to prepare some of the things we'll speak upon. And it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth." Notice that. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." See, all the speak of these evil ones is going to be the devil himself. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast," or the Antichrist, "whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men," just like a prophet. Yeah. "And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of" what? "Of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." You'll notice there again, there's three things there. There's a mark, there's a name, and there's a number. And that'll be really wonderful to get into next week as well. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666 666, or 666. So, as we close here, we see this is the false prophet. We saw that the Antichrist himself, out of that beast creature, rose out of the sea, out of the Gentile nation. The false prophet comes out of the earth. That speaks of the Jew. So this is very interesting here that we have false prophet. Looks as if it will be a Jew. But you'll notice, once again, so Christ-like. This is all this counterfeit. So who is this false prophet? Was he? I see a lamb. Huh? But we know it ain't the Lord because it's a lamb with two horns. And those two horns speak of strength. And those two horns, as we will get into, speak of that he's able to fool both the Jew and the Gentile. He'll be able to lead all of that to worship the beast. This will signify, again, that kind of power that the devil will give him. And it does. It makes your skin crawl. I mean, this is goosebump time in a way. You're thinking, my goodness, this thing's going to have power to enable, they're going to tell him to build an image. Then he's going to give life unto this image that's going to speak. And it's also going to condemn men to death that do not worship the beast. This is exciting. The power, the sway over all the people that this beast will have. The power to direct all the earth worship to the Antichrist. You think about this false prophet just a little bit here. Most likely will be one who has a very impactful influence upon the religious community. We will read later on about seven hills. We'll read about colors. We'll read about a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that will give us indications of this religious harlot as we begin to read of this great whore. And it will be exciting as this comes all together. But even more so tonight, notice, how did he really fool them with miracles? And as we close tonight, remember this. May God help us to not be like those in the wilderness that truly said, see, the people, Israel knew my acts, but Moses knew my ways. The ways of God is the word of God. And by the grace of God, may we truly want to see the word of God. The word of God. It's wonderful. The Lord will show us evidence in his time and as he will have us to see. But remember, faith isn't sight. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith is calling those things which be not as though they were. Faith is seeing the word of God, praise the Lord, as finished. Done. Lord, you said it and it is so. And as the word of God said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Aren't you thankful you believe Paul's gospel? Are you thankful you believe Paul's gospel? I pray you are. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.